You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
Hey, one of today's sponsors is BetterHelp, who's giving our audience 10% off their first month when you go to betterhelp.com/majority report. BetterHelp gives you access to your own fully licensed and accredited therapist via phone, via chat, via video, whatever. It's a lot of therapists elsewhere, so you know, have long wait lists. And it can take weeks, sometimes even months, before they can see you. But when you sign up with BetterHelp, they match you with a therapist based on your specific needs, and you'll be communicating with them in less than 24 hours. Look, very stressful time we're living in. I can tell you just today, almost lost my mind dealing with the Rubik's Cube that is sending your kids to school today. But if it's stress coming from the pandemic or just, I don't know, relationship issues or general anxiety, it is very helpful to talk to someone. And the primary way you can do it today is remotely. So once BetterHelp connects you with a therapist, if you find out, you know, or you feel it's not a good fit, you can switch to a new one. You can do it at any time. You can do it at any reason. For no additional charge. So the first two, I mean, sometimes it takes people a long time to feel comfortable with somebody. They have thousands of licensed therapists. They're all over the country. Some of them are therapists with specialties that may be tricky to find, much easier through BetterHelp. BetterHelp also tends to be more affordable than therapists that you'd find through more traditional means. You don't need to have insurance to use BetterHelp, and they have financial aid options for those who qualify. BetterHelp is giving everyone in our audience 10% off your first month when you go to betterhelp.com/majority report. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/majority report.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, September 16th, 2020. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the 5-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Joe Biden retains a lead in swing state polls. Looking at some maybe small voting reforms in Michigan, they may be able to process ballots before Election Day. That could make a big difference. Meanwhile, Trump craters on his COVID response. Fires still raging out west as the 104-year-old record of storms making landfall during hurricane season is broken as the Gulf Coast is slammed. Sadly, in the Delaware primary, Chris Coons wins. That is going to be an albatross around our necks for at least 6 years, ladies and gentlemen. The upside, we're on the verge of electing the highest elected official, the first trans state senator in the country, has been now nominated and is expected to win in the general election in Delaware. Democratic Oversight Committee slams Boeing and the FAA over their deadly failures. Breonna Taylor's family wins a settlement, but ultimately no justice. It's corruption and insanity at the Health and Human Services Department during a pandemic. 1 million people lost their health insurance, and that was in 2019. Obviously worse now. And a mom's attempt to get health care for her kids could send her to prison for 27 years. Nancy Pelosi's COVID relief strategy not only failed to help Americans, but now looks like it's going to fail moderate Democrats' re-election chances. Americans think crime in the U.S. is rising, and they are wrong. More on those ICE allegations of abuse and the loss of the temporary protected status for tens of thousands. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Is that, Matt, is that sound, is it dipping? Like, we have this weird relationship, don't we, between the music and me. And someone else said that my microphone has been low. Look, folks, here's the deal. And I say this only because we had a lot of time today, relatively speaking. Otherwise, I wouldn't spend the time talking about this. We're working with this off-the-shelf Zoom. We, of course, I mean Kyle, have been able to customize it a bit. But ultimately, there's a lot of problems with the way that we have available to us. This is a problem for a lot of things, but we try and do something that's a little more ambitious. We try and do it every day. We don't pre-record the show. It's a lot of shows out there that you see that presumably are running live, but they're not really live. And so that creates other challenges. We, and by we, of course, I mean Kyle, are working on a custom system that is going to deal with a lot of these issues. It's going to be sweet. But so bear with us, you know, apologies. You know, I'll get like, I'm a sound engineer and your sound is really, you're constantly, you're dealing with you have deficiencies in your mix. Or I was contacted by somebody like, what are the specs you're using? What kind of transcoder are you using? What kind of, because I notice your blacks are not crushed and, you know, and it's just like, dude, I take it as a compliment only insofar as that, like, you, sir or lady or whoever I'm, this hypothetical person I'm addressing, you have no idea what we're able to do with so little here. I mean, I
feel like our reliability in the face of our tech struggles, ironically, or somehow speaks to our credibility to people.
I would agree. I'm not even sure I know what that formulation is, but
well, people know and love our tech problems, I think.
Oh my gosh.
That wouldn't be an MR if it wasn't.
That's right. I mean, for the first like 3 years of the show, that was basically our forte was our tech problems. That was the strongest part of the program, I thought. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I don't know if Donald Trump is insane or evil, you know, stupid or evil, that question, et cetera, et cetera. Et cetera, et cetera. But there's certainly, I don't know if it's an either or choice either, but it is amazing to see what's going on at the Health and Human Services right now, because it's both there as well. We will get to that in a moment. Donald Trump did a town hall with George Stephanopoulos last night. Now, understand that Donald Trump's electoral strategy seems to be, aside from, you know, the mechanical parts of suppressing votes, like literally vote suppression and disenfranchisement, et cetera, and questioning the legitimacy of the election, which is all part of that. That's the mechanical side. The sort of pure rhetorical political side, what they seem to have settled on is Joe Biden mentally incapable of being the president because of his gaffes or the fact that he's, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a hard argument to make in a vacuum. The problem is that it's really not a vacuum. It's a choice. It's a choice between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. So you can't just look at Joe Biden in a vacuum and assess, like, well, is he really mentally sharp enough to do this? because you need to compare it to what? And that what is Donald Trump. And so that puts a lot of pressure on him. So moments like this on the George Stephanopoulos show or a town hall are highly problematic for Donald Trump. You know, otherwise it wouldn't be. But they have made this issue of every time you can't find a word that you're searching for is an indication you're unfit for the office of the presidency. So there's two problems that Trump has with this response. One is that superficial one that I've just said, but it's not superficial because in the context of his campaign, it's problematic. And the other is he's calling for the death of about 1.5 million people. Play this clip.
Go away without the vaccine?
Sure. Over a period of time. Sure. With time, it goes
and many
away.
Deaths.
And you'll develop herd, like a herd mentality. It's going to be herd developed, and that's going to happen. That will all happen. But with the vaccine, I think it will go away very quickly.
So he's talking about a vaccine, and Stephanopoulos, are you going to get the vaccine? He said, it's going to go away anyways. All you need is that herd mentality. You know, herd development. You need to develop a herd. Then the herd itself, of course, has a mentality, and the mentality tells it to go away.
His ability to ignore matters of mass death. Like, Stephanopoulos is like, yeah, but many people will die. And he's like, yeah, but we'll have the herd mentality.
The fact is that if herd immunity is achieved at like 70%, you'll have 2 million people die. It could be achieved at a lower amount. It could be 60%, could be 55%. And then you're talking about anywhere from like 1 million to 1.5 million people dying. Right now in this country, I would imagine we're probably close to maybe 20%, maybe probably closer to like 15%. I'm sorry, 20%, I would say in the Northeast, maybe. The rest of the country, 10 to 15%, maybe. 5 million cases that we know of. We know that some people have some like immunity, but we can't measure T cells. I guess 5 is really 1%, but I suspect it's a little bit higher. So let's call it like 5 or 10% across the country. So to get up to, even if you think it's at 40%, you're still talking about, you know, 600,000 people dying. If you think it's at 50%, 800,000 people dying, and so on and so on. And of course, we have a president who apparently, based on his own standards, I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on you, doesn't it, Matt? Like, what if I had to go and assess other people, other commentators, based upon their pronunciation of names or their how many ums they recite during the day? That would put a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah, it's like if we made it a regular segment to find any mispronunciation of a guest on cable news.
That's right. And then look at this guy. Look at this commentator. Look at how many times he says You can't take anything he takes seriously. He says so many times. That would put a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah, I'd be mad at the staffer who decided on this as the main strategy.
Couldn't you have come up with something different? Guys, mental acuity.
Can't we talk about how he's bad at golf?
Yeah, how about that? What about he's not rich? He likes to take the train. Can we say that? Train Joe? Trainee Joe? No, guess that doesn't work.
Well, did we just cross 200,000 deaths?
Yes, we did. We did, I think... yesterday. Maybe it was last night. Yep. Congratulations, everybody. There's no contemplation about it. I mean, look, to a certain extent, this is a natural phenomena, right? I mean, you know, Donald Trump is not responsible for the pandemic. Now, there is an argument that had we left in place the entire apparatus that had been built to warn the country and to really warn the world about pandemics, right? We had people embedded in China to suss out these things that were fired. We had a member of the National Security Council who had a whole team that was sitting on the National Security Council as a way of providing some type of early warning system, obviously for the country, but for the world too. Now, it is true that Donald Trump got rid of that. It is a very tough counterfactual to assess. Would that have stopped it? But what we can do is we can look at like a country like Canada. And I think based upon their population and their deaths, and I guess granted on some level, they're a little bit more sparsely spread out. Maybe, I don't know if their concentration really is dispersed differently. But we would have something like 7,000 deaths in this country if we were consistent with what Canada's numbers are. And we have 200,000 deaths. And when you contemplate how the country changed when we lost about 3,000 people on 9/11, when you contemplate the hundreds of thousands who died because of 9/11, because of what we did, the way that we chose to react, the millions who were displaced, the incredible instability that it created, still feeling it 20 years out. And in 6 months, we have lost 200,000 people because the president didn't want to freak out the stock market. Somehow decided that it was most electorally advantageous to him to deny its existence. I think in other circumstances, it also was there's an opportunity to monetize this. In a way, it might be less efficient than having government respond, but it is going to provide some friends with some money. It is stunning. And it's also just I guess at one point the country just sort of like has to become a little bit callous and a nerd to it. And just sort of, I don't know, there's a certain amount of denial that seems to be going on. And I understand it. Certainly when we were waging war in Iraq, you walk around, you'd have no idea that we were at war and how many people we were killing. You'd have no idea. So I guess in that respect, I mean, at least there's some consistency.
At least we do it to ourselves too.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that shows a certain amount of integrity, right? Folks, a couple of ads. There has never been, I don't know if there's never been a better time, but this is a great time to learn something new. Many of us are still in sort of a holding pattern. And this is a good time to learn some new things. And with thousands of options available, finding the best way to learn can be challenging. One of my strongest recommendations, an app called Blinkist. Blinkist is unique. It is powerful. It works on your phone or your tablet or your computer or wherever you get your digital information. Blinkist takes the key insights from over 3,000 nonfiction bestsellers. They have 27 categories. They condense them down into what they call blinks. You can read these or you can listen to them in 15 minutes. Read or listen. And now Blinkist also offers its members exclusive original podcasts from top authors, and creative thinkers. You can also dive deeper into full-length nonfiction audiobooks at a special discounted price. Matt Leck, your favorite aspect of that. Over 14 million people use Blinkist to deepen their knowledge in topics spanning from self-improvement, management, happiness, much more. For me, I've told you a million times why I use Blinkist. There are books I just don't, I frankly, with all due respect to the authors, not interested in reading the whole book. But they pique my interest just enough that I'm willing to invest 15 minutes as opposed to, I don't know, a couple hours, 10 hours, 5 hours, 4 hours. 15 minutes I can do. And I weigh it against how much I really want to read the book, or, you know, also how much I want to admit to myself that I need to improve in a certain area, because I'm in denial half the time. So I'll listen to Blinkist. I'll listen sometimes before I go to bed, sometimes when I'm exercising, or I don't know, when I'm doing the yard work or walking the dog. I don't have a dog, but there's all sorts of times you can use Blinkist. And right now, Blinkist has a special offer for just our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/majority report. You start your 7-day free trial. You get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership and up to 65% off audiobooks. You get to keep those forever. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/majority report. You get 25% off a premium membership and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/majority report. Go check out. Go, like, for instance, like Rachel Maddow's Blowout. All due respect, didn't want to sit down and read the whole thing. Interesting to get the perspective on it, though. I got him 15 minutes. You've seen that Rick Wilson thing where he gets on that Tunes thing, which is pretty funny. Well, now you can read his book, Everything Trump Touches Dies. Starting to see a pattern there. I don't want to read these books, but to get 15 minutes, Blinkist.com/majority report, you're going to get a great deal, 25% off premium membership and a 7-day free trial. Check that out. Also, a lot of people buying online these days for obvious reasons. It used to be when my daughter used to buy stuff online. I already knew this, but when my daughter did, I used to have to walk her through. This is how you find a coupon code, sweetie. Why? Because I'm thrifty. It's not cheap to do that. It would take 5 or 10 minutes. You save $5 or $10. Well, then my life changed. Honey, it's the free browser extension. It scours the internet for the promo codes. You don't have to look for them. It automatically applies the best ones that are available at checkout. You no longer have to go to all those coupon code sites, click on it, find out it doesn't work. Here's how it does work. You get Honey on your computer for free, two easy clicks by going to joinhoney.com/majority, joinhoney.com/majority. Then when you're checking out one of its over 30,000 supported sites, boom, Honey pops up. All you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds. Honey searches for the coupons. If there are any that are decent or good, then it applies it to your cart. Bingo, bango, over. Don't have to search it. That whole ritual of thrifty dads telling their daughters or their sons how to search for a coupon code, over. Honey has found over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Check it out. I have no idea how much money I've saved with Honey, basically because my daughter, buys the bulk of the stuff that it gets purchased here. But I'm convinced it's hundreds at this point. And it just makes it much easier. You don't have to have that talk with the kids. It's simple. If you have a computer, Honey should be on it. It's free. It works with whatever browser you have. You can get Honey today for free at joinhoney.com/majority. That's joinhoney.com/majority. And lastly, Third Love uses the measurements of millions of women to design bras with all-day comfort and support. Every Third Love bra is made with a signature memory foam cups, no slip straps, and scratch-free band. Their Fit Finder quiz will help you find the size and styles that are right for you. Over 15 million women have taken the quiz to date. Third Love helps you identify your breast size and shape. And it finds the styles that fit your body. Their perfect fit promise means you don't have to, if you don't love it, exchanges are, and returns are free for 60 days. Also, Third Love donates all of their gently used return bras to women in need, supporting charities in their local San Francisco Bay Area and across the United States. Folks, I'm not going to lie to you. I do not wear a bra. However, we did have the official Majority Report bra trier and wearer come back with a review. And this is what she said. The idea that I had 60 days to try out the bras drew me in. But in the end, I don't think I've ever had a better experience buying clothing online. Certainly not when it comes to bras. The fit finder worked like a charm. The choice of styles, amazing. Both bras I ordered were a perfect fit. That almost never happens. They are incredibly comfortable. They are cute and they are subtle. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 10% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/majority now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 10% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/majority for 10% off. Okay, let's go to I mentioned this yesterday, and it is sort of blown up now. Apparently, the Health and Human Services official, Michael Caputo, who was a Trump campaign guy, and he was put on, he was made the communications head of HHS, and his job has been basically to assault the CDC to get them to fudge their numbers in such a way that it doesn't look like we are in the midst of a pandemic that is being completely mishandled by the administration. The HHS has gotten so corrupted. I mean, look, this is going to be a story in every single agency, but this guy seems to be sort of unique in terms of his, I don't know, mental stability. And that is, that's not my assessment. That's his. We also have a situation. There's another story out today that the HHS has also been assaulting the FDA. We'll talk about that in a bit. But here is Michael Caputo on his own personal Facebook page doing a Facebook Live video. This was, I think, on Sunday. And he since deleted it, but apparently people found it. Check out this bat crap crazy stuff this guy is saying. And remember, he is the guy who's been leaning on the CDC and trying to get them to shape their mortality reports.
Whether it's the Buffalo News or the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or any of these media outlets, I'm under siege. It's been going on for a couple of weeks, and I don't care because I have the president's support. I know that because he's told me so. They're after me for two reasons. And I want to tell you what they are so you understand. And you understand that I'm not going anywhere. They're going to have to kill me. And unfortunately, I think that's where this is going. The partisan Democrats, the conjugal media, and the scientists, the deep state scientists, want America sick through November. They cannot afford for us to have any good news before November because they're already losing. Donald Trump right now, if the election were held today, would win. Not by much. Not by much, and I want to talk about that for a minute, but he would win. And that's why Kamala Harris is out there talking like an anti-vaxxer. I know some people on my feed are against vaccines, and I encourage you not to get one if you don't want one. I encourage you to follow freedom to anywhere it leads. But I'm going to get a vaccine. In fact, as Assistant Secretary of Health, I'll be one of the first ones to get a vaccine. And I know it's safe because I'm involved in its development, not as a, you know, just watching it closely. And let me tell you something. There is tons of positive news out there about this pandemic. And the Democrats can't have it. Their conjugal media can't have it. And there are scientists working for this government who do not want America to get better. Did you hear me? There are scientists who work for this government who do not want America to get well. Not until after Joe Biden is president. It's a fact. I knew it because I've heard it. These people cannot allow America to get better, nor can they allow America to hear good news.
So this is a part of his Facebook Live breakdown in many respects that he broadcast on Sunday. He has since taken it down. He referred to during that same video. that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention harbored what he called resistance units that were determined to undermine President Trump. In addition, you saw that he suggested that he could be personally in danger of being killed. And he went on to say at one point, if you carry guns, buy ammunition, ladies and gentlemen, because it's going to be hard to get. This is what he said to his followers. More in this New York Times account, he went further, saying his physical health was in question and his, quote, mental health has definitely failed. I know. I guess he gets points for self-awareness, but I don't know how deep the self-awareness is, right?
Yeah, I don't. I think it's pretty superficial.
I mean, you can always get tripped up by that. There are people who are very self-aware, but they don't make they don't take the last step. I don't like being alone in Washington, Caputo said. Quote, shadows on the ceiling in my apartment. They're alone. Shadows are so long. I shouldn't laugh because it's horrible, but I have to, because otherwise I would start to cry. Yeah.
He's keeping a close eye on the vaccine. Yeah, nice.
He's complaining in that video of the fact that nobody's talking about the good stories about the pandemic, yet he also said, you're not waking up every morning and talking about dead Americans. He urged people to attend Trump rallies, but only with masks. He's being somewhat, and he goes, CDC science, quote, haven't gotten out of their sweatpants except for meetings at coffee shops to plot how they're going to attack Donald Trump next. He said, there are scientists who work for this government who do not want America to get well, not until after Joe Biden is president. I think you saw that. Now, you should know that Mr. Caputo, who is the communications person for Health and Human Services, doesn't know anything about medical care. He has no medical background at all. He went on in that same video to say, when Donald Trump refuses to stand down at inauguration because Biden is going to refuse to concede, the shooting will begin, he said. The drills that you've seen are nothing, he said. He said that there are hit squads being trained all over the country. And he said, you understand that they're going to have to kill me. And unfortunately, I think that's what this is going. Of course, Caputo would be high on the hit list, of course. He said that scientists deep in the bowels of the CDC walked, quote, around like they are monks and holy men, but engaged in rotten science. That is the guy who has been leaning on CDC scientists to mess with their mortality reports. Evil, stupid, insane, it doesn't matter. I don't know that there's like, I think it's like, I am almost at the point now where to even create those categories is in and of itself a category error. These things go hand in hand. When your agenda, which they have said since day one almost, is to destroy the administrative state, there is no difference between a vaguely insane person and somebody who is there attempting to corrupt the agencies just to function on behalf of a political agenda. I mean, there's just, and not a political agenda in the sense that like, hey, it's a political agenda that citizens should not be responsible for getting cancer as the price, as the cost of allowing corporations to have more profit. You could argue that's a political agenda, and I would say maybe it is on some level, but I'm just talking like pure partisan agenda, which is, I don't even care what one way or another what's going on here. She's like, what makes it best for Donald Trump to get elected? Period. End of story. Meanwhile, Health and Human Services, same department. The secretary, Alex Azar, according to The Times Today, led an escalating pressure campaign against his own Food and Drug Administration this spring and summer, urging the agency to abandon its responsibility for ensuring the safety and accuracy of a range of coronavirus tests as the pandemic raged. Overriding objections from FDA Chief Stephen Hahn, Azar revoked the agency's ability to check the quality of tests developed by individual labs for their own use. This is according to seven current and former administration officials with knowledge of the decision. Hey, folks, I know you're not all science people or doctor people, but can anybody think of what might be problematic about pulling back on the requirements that tests for, I don't know, say a novel coronavirus, what the implications of pulling back on assessing the accuracy of these tests as these tests get rolled out? Can anybody out there guess what might be problematic about that? You think you have it, but you don't. You think you don't have it, but you do. The unilateral policy change, which applies to lab-developed tests for a wide range of diseases, included COVID-19, had long been sought by commercial university and public health labs in the name of greater flexibility, but Hahn viewed the move as inappropriate and ill-timed because it removes safeguards designed to prevent inaccurate tests from flooding the market during a public health crisis. Look, in less urgent epochs, the idea that, okay, we're going to have some flexibility. We've established that this is safe, but we don't know if it's accurate, this test. We're going to roll them out because, you know, it's not a pandemic. The accuracy of the test, we can double check the accuracy of the test. We can base it upon something else. I mean, I can understand the theory behind that. I don't know the science enough to know that maybe in other instances, it might be a good idea to create some flexibility there. But in the course of a pandemic where everyone is rushing to put their tests on the market, A, because there's a ton of cash to be made and there's a huge demand for it and desperate need for it, the idea that you're putting out tests that are inaccurate when you have a 10-day, 14-day, 5-day horizon in which you can give this disease to somebody else seems to be the height of stupidity and irresponsibility. Azar's decision is the latest example of the Trump administration appointees overruling experts at public health agencies. It comes at a particularly perilous time for the FDA, which is struggling to balance President Donald Trump's push for a vaccine by Election Day with public fears that the agency will rubber stamp an ineffective or dangerous shot. Why would the public feel that way? I've never seen such a complete political overruling of the agency, said one former HHS official. It makes me worried about what's to come. HHS Chief of Staff Brian Harrison cast the decision as driven by legal considerations. Primarily, it was our lawyers advising us that this review requirement was illegal, he said in the statement. Additionally, everyone would agree at the beginning of a pandemic, we need to maximize the development of quality diagnostics as fast as possible. Well, you know, you got to balance fast and quality. After the FDA loosened the rules for these tests early in the pandemic, allowing labs to delay seeking emergency use authorization, it discovered widespread flaws. 82 of 125 tests eventually submitted to the FDA for authorization had design or validation problems. That was reported last week in the New England Journal of Medicine. The agency experienced similar problems when it decided this spring to let antibody tests hit the market without agency review. The FDA reversed course in mid-April, recalling Scores. Scores is 12, isn't that? Is that right, Matt? Fourscore?
I thought it was 20, but maybe 20. I'm wrong.
20. Yeah. I think it's 20. 20, 20. Recalling 20s of faulty or inaccurate tests. Fourscore. Yes, 20. So that's where we are with the Department of Health and Human Services. And credit where credit's due. I don't think he did it in the most eloquent or dramatic fashion, but it certainly was appropriate and it's helpful. I know there's a sense of like, who cares about this? But there are people who are going to be aware that there is a problem at Health and Human Services when Chuck Schumer gets to the floor and calls for the resignation of Alex Azar, the head of that department.
Over the weekend, there were numerous reports that political appointees at HHS have been interfering with CDC's report on COVID-19, trying to delay, edit out, or halt the release of facts that would have been politically embarrassing to the president. This is not the first time the administration has tried to hide reports and facts that would better inform the American people. Meanwhile, as that is happening, President Trump has pressured HHS to slow the testing down. He's overstated the benefits of certain treatments and pressured the FDA to approve them and accused FDA officials of holding back a vaccine. And too many people within HHS are trying to suppress the science. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, has not only failed to push back against these outrageous moves by President Trump, he's been almost entirely silent about the chaos and mismanagement in his own agency. In Trump's administration, the most important skill is the ability to stand up to the president and resist political influence. More in an agency like HHS than others, where the health of Americans is at stake.
So there it is. I mean, look, the value of that, I know people are going to be a little bit cynical about it. And the value, I'm not going to overstate the value. But there are people going to see that and say, hey, there's a problem here. And there is. I mean, there's a dramatic problem here. And it's indicative of what we're seeing in our government across all these agencies. We're just more focused on this right now because we're in the middle of a pandemic. But in the absence of the pandemic, we'd be hearing about what's going on at the EPA. In the absence of a pandemic, we would be hearing more about what's going on at OSHA or, I mean, just name it. All of these agencies have been degraded dramatically. This is what our government does. It is supposed to function as a bulwark between private enterprise trying to create profits by dishing off the externalities onto us in the form of cost, in the form of our health, in the form of our happiness, in the form of our, some respects, you want to call it our liberty or our privacy. That is what these agencies are supposed to do. It's not clean. They have an army of lawyers who will go in and they will try and defang these regulations and they'll roll them back. And they have lobbyists who will pay to influence lawmakers to make the laws that that will inhibit the ability of these agencies to go forward. No doubt, it is not a perfect system. It's not even remotely close. But this administration, and this happens with Republicans generally. It's just that they're just completely brazen about it, and our system had no capacity to deal with it. I mean, the guy at Department of Homeland Security has now been deemed to be illegally serving. He is impersonating the chairman of the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, that's basically what's going on there. By a federal judge and by a government agency, the government government accountability agency. And what are they doing at this point? Let's play this clip. This is Don Wooten. I mentioned this yesterday. We don't have a huge amount of public substantiation for what she's talking about, at least in some respects. The coronavirus stuff, I think, is quite obvious because there are some records that will back this up. The doctor that she's talking about has been named. There are seven immigrants with representation who have backed up her claims here. I think we got to be careful about, you know, until there's more investigation, but we do have a whistleblower and we do have attorneys who feel like their clients have substantiated this. Here's Dawn Wooden. She was on Chris Hayes' program last night. She is the whistleblower from who worked at a private detention center for immigrants, essentially a private prison. They were providing no protection for these people in terms of COVID. And reportedly, many of these immigrant women were taken to a doctor where they had hysterectomies and were not told that's what was happening and there was no reason for them.
You talk about in the complaint a hearing from women who were detained there, talking about a specific doctor performing hysterectomies, referring to him as a uterus collector. Tell us about how you heard about this doctor and what women said about their experiences with him.
You have detained women. I had several detained women on numerous occasions that would come to me and say, "Miss Wooten, I had a hysterectomy. Why?" I had no answers as to why they had those procedures. And one lady walked up to me here this last time around between October of 19 until July the 2nd. And she said, "What is he? Is he the uterus collector? Does he collect uteruses?" And I asked her, "What does she mean?" And she says, "Everybody that I talked to has had a hysterectomy. And you just don't know what to say." I mean, I don't have a answer for why that they would come to me and they would say, "Is he the uterus collector?"
I mean, that's where we're at this point. And again, there are attorneys who represent seven of these immigrant women who substantiate their side of that story. And I've seen stories that have named the doctor. I don't know if they're quite, let me see. I think it's an NBC story, in which case I feel a little more confident in mentioning it. Not 100% sure if it has, but NBC, the whistleblower Don Wooden says that Irwin, which is run by the private corporation LaSalle Corrections, has underreported COVID-19 cases, knowingly placed staff and detainees at risk of contracting the virus, neglected medical complaints, and refused to test symptomatic detainees, among other dangerous practices. The legal advocacy group Project South has submitted a complaint to the Office of Inspector General on Wooten's behalf, which also included testimony collected from interviews with detainees. This is not the only for-profit detention company to face scrutiny for dangerous mishandling the coronavirus pandemic. It goes on to talk more about that. People are a little bit tentative about reporting on the hysterectomies, because it is an appalling, and frankly, you're talking about, this is a crime against humanity. And so
genocide.
It is genocide. It is being, and so people are being circumspect about it, and they should. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to speculate as to, like, I've seen at different points what appears to be the name of the doctor, but I don't know these websites. And so I'm just not going to, I'm not going to go there. It's sort of, it will get reported out at this point if it is real. And I suppose you can make the argument that, like, this is not something, is it really that far-fetched? I mean, we still have children who have been separated from their parents by the U.S. government, kidnapped by the U.S. government, not returned to their parents. Months, in some cases years later. I think people would be surprised to know that it was, I guess, early in the 20th century, not even that early. The U.S. government, the Supreme Court found that it was okay for the U.S. and institutions to provide unconsented to hysterectomies. But this is 100 years later, and you've got immigrant women who are like, "What? Why did I have a hysterectomy?" So we'll see. But it's disturbing. I wonder if it bears out that that's the case. Is that sufficient? Is that a sufficient difference?
I just find it depressing in the context of the debate we had about whether ICE camps, we can call them concentration camps, when that's just what they are descriptively. And that makes me pessimistic for ability to face reality on this stuff widely anyway.
We'll see. I mean, I find it hard to believe this is a wide policy. My guess is if this bears out to be the case, that what we're looking at is someone is a doctor who was trying to, you know, commit some type of fraud in some weird way.
A cash in on it.
A billing fraud. But of course, you know, if Don Wooten knows it and reports it up the chain of command and nobody does anything about it, is there really a material difference about it? Right? Does it really have to be a plan that is being executed for it to be heinous and criminal? Or is it enough that it's just like, we don't care what happens to these people? Somebody's making a buck by performing hysterectomies, unnecessary hysterectomies on these immigrants, whatever. I will tell you right now that if it is the case that there is a doctor who this private prison essentially was using, and the doctor was running some type of, I don't know, billing scam, and undoubtedly somebody back at the private prison is getting a kickback, that the right will say, like, this was just a guy who was committing fraud. But when you set up a system like this, where job number one is profit, profiting off of these people as if they are pieces of meat, then of course this type of thing follows. It's unbelievable. All right, we got to take a quick break. Head into the fun half. We have some decent news, I think. I'm trying to see. Breonna Taylor's family got $12 million, and there were some police reforms, but they did not concede that they made a mistake. Louisville. I guess COVID's relief strategy is beginning to fall apart. That's not positive. I guess the upside is just that, you know, only 35% of the country approve of Donald Trump's COVID response. And so that suggests that there's 65% of of Americans who are sentient and can be aware of what's going on around them. That is, I guess that's positive, right? Just a reminder, it's your support that makes this show possible, folks. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. Check out the AM Quick. Oh, you know, I want to read a couple of emails. This is apropos right now, too. Let's see, I'll put this one here. That'll be second. That'll be third. Where did the other email go? I like this one. This is a good email. Hi, Sam. I wanted to send you an email to you for a long time to thank you for what you do. I decided to sit down and write it today because your show was today was so good. The interview with Thomas Frank was extremely fascinating. You had me laughing out loud with the Steve Doocy gaffes. I'm relatively new to a lot of progressive ideas, and you gave me the perfect mix of political comedy combined with intellectual commentary and history and interviews and all-around good takes. You deserve a far bigger audience. Yeah, I wish everyone would listen to you, Ben Shapiro, blah, blah, blah. Seriously, Sam, you and the MR crew have gotten me through the past 3 months, and I wanted to personally thank you for that. He goes on to say, I also want to give you my condolences for the loss of Michael. I heard his passing through the Chapo gang and found a video of you and Michael on YouTube. I was hooked. I wish I started listening to your show years ago because I would have gotten to listen to Michael more. He goes on. And then he says, I am 19 years old. So this will be my first presidential election I get to vote in. Even though everything sucks, you've made it me excited to learn about politics and somehow voting for Biden. I wish I was voting for Bernie. I get so excited when the show's intro music comes on. I'm proud to say I have it, the intro memorized, broadcasting live, steps and steps and steps. And he goes on to say, you are the coolest person in media. Thank you. And
wow.
Yeah, that is, that's when I started to think, hey, is this a real email? But no, and he says, left is best, 19-year-old, folks. 19. Oh, and here we go. AMQ rocks, and also thank you, Matt, for the tip on the smalls.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Now you know it's real.
Yeah, it's got good taste.
And then I got two other emails that I thought were appropriate for now. In fact, I think I got a couple more of these. One is from Richard. Sam, just pretend her actual full name is Nomi Key, and you'll never get it wrong again. So this guy said N-O-M-I, capital K-E-Y, Nomi Key. Which I think is also helpful. But then this guy writes me, Jim writes, your variety of pronunciations of Nomi Key are amusing. And from what I heard on today's Fun Half, you've been given a few tips to help you. The one that helps me accent the correct syllables is Nomi Key. Nomi Key. That's N-O, small N, and then M, small C, K-E-E. So now I've gotten like so many different things. Yeah, exactly. I'm keeping straight in my head. Nomi Key. Does that sound right to you?
No, it's. I think the employee Nomi Key. Nomi Key.
Nomi Key.
Nomi Key.
Nomi Key.
Yeah, let's keep it simple, guys.
It's Jimmy Pick. Jimmy Peck.
Oh boy.
Folks, don't forget, you can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. And don't forget the AMQ, AM Quickie. You can sign up for it at amquickie.com. And don't forget the Nomi Key Show. You can find it at youtube.com/TheNomiKeyShow or at patreon.com/TheNomiKeyShow. It is on at 3 p.m. every day. Jamie, what is up with you? You there? She go away?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. I was just...
What are you doing?
I was... Okay, so I don't have a real light to light my face when I'm on camera. So what I do is I bring the lamps from other parts of my house and I put them on the table by my computer. And I forgot to do that today because I'm a little bit sick and not on the ball.
Well, there's a really wonderful noir quality to your camera today. So what is happening on the Antifada?
Well, that's a very good question. We actually didn't record it this week, but we're going to today because I was actually sick the past couple of days and didn't really feel up to it. But I'm recording one with Sean today. We're going to talk about the news. I'm sure it's going to be great. And in the meantime, folks can listen to our episode from last week with Brace Belden, very funny guy. Did an episode on Wednesday with him, talk about labor history and the Vanguard Party. That's free for everyone. And on Friday, a little bonus about punk rock. So check it out, patreon.com/theantifada.
Matt?
TMBS last night, we had Joshua Kahn Russell on to talk about the sort of organizing against the wildfires in the face of, you know, toxic air. And then Ben Burgess on to talk about John Ronson's book on public shaming and about sailors stuck at sea for coronavirus for many, many weeks. So patreon.com/TMBS. Check that out, folks.
Quick break. 646-257-3920. See you in the fun half. Left is best. Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Rand Paul.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good. Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
I think I might be a Nazi.
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up. Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me.
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.